Sometimes I think we mislabel ourselves as God's children. We often say things like, we're all sinners, or I'm a sinner the same as anyone else. Perhaps you've said that. And there's certainly some truth to those statements. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall or come short of the glory of God. 1 John 1:8 tells us, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So there's certainly some truth to those statements. However, the Bible doesn't really use the word sinner when it refers to faithful Christians. So I think sometimes we mislabel ourselves as God's children. Because when you think about it, when you put the word Christian and sinner together, they don't go together. And sometimes when we walk around and we call ourselves sinners, then what we're telling and what we're projecting to other people is that we are living a life of sin. The Bible tells us to be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive a crown of righteousness, Revelation 2:10. So the Bible instructs us how we're supposed to live, but nowhere really through the pages of the Holy Writ do we find any person that's a faithful child of God being referred to or labeled as a sinner or calling themselves a sinner, except in one particular instance, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. So I think it's important for us that we stop calling ourselves sinners. And so when someone asks us a question of what we are, rather we label ourselves as Christ labeled us at the cross of Calvary, a Christian. Because we are to be Christ-like, because we carry the title of Christian, because we walk and we are to act like Christ, because we are in fellowship with Jesus Christ, 1 John 1 and verse 7. And because we are in fellowship with Him, darkness cannot come into contact with light in relation to God. As a matter of fact, God turns His back away from those that are unrighteous, those that are sinners, Isaiah chapter 59. And so when we label ourselves as sinners, then we're projecting that we're living an unfaithful and different lifestyle than God wants us to be. So I want to talk this morning for why it can be detrimental and really wrong for our faith and why it can harm our faith in relation to who we say we are and how we walk as God's children today. So of course, we always want to know what the Bible says about these things and understand what the word sinner is in the Bible. When you think about it, it seems the word sinner in the Bible is really referred to in two different ways. You either have someone who is living in sin, or you have someone who has committed an atrocious sin or something along those lines, something grievous. It's similar to the way that we use the word liar, if you think about it. Someone can lie, but that doesn't necessarily outright mean they're living a life as a liar, because someone who is a liar is someone who tells lies and someone that we cannot trust. That means they're living a lifestyle in which we know they're an untrustworthy individual and we don't want to put our trust in that particular person. So it means that they're notorious or for lying and deceiving individual people. So if someone is living a lifestyle of sin or committing a grievous sin, then someone is considered a sinner, but someone is also outside the preview or the purview of being one of God's children. Because God doesn't want to have anything to do with darkness. God doesn't want to have anything to do with those who are walking outside of His righteousness. So when you think about the psalmist, what he says in Psalm 1, chapter 1, and verses 5 and 6, he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners. And you jump down to verse 5 and verse 6. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So what the psalmist is saying here is that God does not want us to associate nor stand in the way with sinners because of how they can also affect us as God's children. The Bible tells us to be careful about the company we keep, right? Evil communications corrupts good manners. So it tells us not to associate in relation to those who might be or who project themselves to be sinners because of the way they'll perhaps rub off on us. Now, let me also say this, it doesn't mean that we do not come in contact with sinners because we have the Great Commission. But one of the things it does tell us is that we do not take on or associate with their particular behavior. So when you think about how David prayed in Psalm 26 verses 9 and 10, he said, do not sweep my soul away with sinners. He said, nor my life with the bloodthirsty men in whose hands are evil devices and whose right hands are full of bribes. Solomon encouraged his son. He said, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Proverbs 1 and verse 10. So what the Bible is telling us is don't associate with those who call and live a lifestyle of sin. But here's the question. Do we deserve to be called sinners? Yes, we do. When you think about what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross of Calvary, we deserve to take His place. But yet God loved us enough, John 3:16, that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. He wants all of mankind to be saved. He calls all men everywhere to repent, 2 Peter 3:9. And because of that, in relation to that, we deserve to take the place of Jesus Christ, but God loved us enough and that He wanted us to be saved and that He sent the perfect sacrifice for us so that we would not have to do that. And so God is loving us through an old wooden cross. So we have, in times past, made a practice of sin and we're guilty of grievances against God. So therefore committing sin. But here's the thing. Jesus came to seek and to save those that were lost. Jesus not only came to save and not only to save us from our sins, but He also came to save us and conform us to His righteousness. And so if I'm calling myself a sinner, what I'm saying is I have not transformed my mind to be conformed to the way of the cross of Calvary. Therefore, I'm walking in the way of the sinner. Psalm 1:1. But the psalmist says, don't walk in the way of the sinner. Don't even be associated with the way of the sinner. So what the psalmist is saying is stop calling yourself a sinner. And so if Jesus came to seek and to save those that were lost, if Jesus came to seek and to save us, if He came into the world to save sinners like us, 1 Timothy 1:15, then brethren, why in the world would we call us sinners? Why would we want to put that title on us? When you die, perhaps you're going to have a particular adjective or something associated with your grave marker. But do you want it to say sinner? So when someone walks up and goes, well, look, there's a sinner. Or would you rather it say faithful Christian, faithful loving father, faithful loving wife who's also a Christian? Of course that's what we want it to say. We don't want to be titled or labeled a Christian, so then why would we walk around calling ourselves a sinner? Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but to call sinners, Matthew 9:13. So He came so that sinners would have forgiveness, but also that those sinners would be reconciled to God. And a sinner cannot stand in the way of righteousness in relation to who God is, because God does not associate. So, but Jesus did not just come to forgive sinners, but also to save us, brethren, from being sinners. And so when we think about the example that Jesus left us and what it means to be a righteous child of God, to walk in the paths of righteousness, that means we're walking on the narrow path, Matthew 7:13-14, because we understand what it means to be a child of God and we understand what it means to be a Christian. Oftentimes I'll ask somebody or in relation to a conversation and I'll say, well, the good thing is at least we're saved. And I've heard Christians actually say, well, I sure hope so. That's the wrong answer. Either you know or you don't know. Based upon who you are and who you follow, if we follow after Jesus Christ concerning the path of righteousness, brethren, we can know that we know that we know that we're saved. Because the Bible tells us that we are. So we certainly don't want to label ourselves something that we're not. Again, it doesn't mean that we don't fall short and make mistakes from time to time. But 1 John 1:7 says, and He's referring and writing to Christians at that time, in relation to He understood that we're imperfect creatures, that we fall short, that we make mistakes from time to time. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as Jesus in the light, we have fellowship one with us and Him, and that blood continually cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And because it cleanses us from unrighteousness, we understand that when we make mistakes as God's children, when I sin, brethren, doesn't mean that I'm a sinner. It means that I made a mistake and God says, now you can correct it because of my Son and because of who Jesus is. When Jesus saves, He doesn't just forgive, brethren, He also reforms us. That's what Paul is telling the church in Rome in Romans 12:1-2. He said, don't be conformed to the ways of the world, the sinning world. Don't be conformed and think like the world does. Be transformed by the renewing. Think differently and think the way Christ thinks, right? Philippians 2:5 says we are to have the mind of Christ. We rejoice always because of who we are, but Paul's telling the faithful Philippians there to rejoice in the fact that they are to think who and think like Jesus does because they are Christians. He doesn't say think like a sinner. He doesn't say walk around projecting yourself to be a sinner. He says to think like a Christian. So when you think about that, you have to allow Him to remake you from the inside out. Conversion is more about forgiveness, rather than it's about change. It's about labeling myself something completely different. We don't come out of that watery grave saying, well, thank goodness I'm saved, but I'm still a sinner. Romans 6, 3 and 4 tells us that we're cleansed, right? That old man is washed away. We become a new creature. So we're not coming out of the water screaming, hallelujah, I'm a sinner. We're telling God, and God is telling us that we've been redeemed and washed by the blood of the Lamb. And because of that, we've put on a new robe. We're a new creature in Christ. We become a brand new person. And because we're a new person, because we're now a Christian, we're no longer walking in the way of sinners. We're no longer having association with the lifestyle that we used to have. Because we are now God's children, brethren, that's how we label ourselves, as God's children. So we certainly don't want to call ourselves sinners. Well, someone might ask the question, well, Larry, what about Paul? I mean, after all, didn't Paul say in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that he was among the chief of all sinners? So therefore, he's referring to himself as a sinner, right? Well, you're absolutely right. Jesus is saying to the world, when you look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and following, Paul is referring to his previous lifestyle. So if you look at verse 15, Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Verse 16, however, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering or patience as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Verse 17, now to the King eternal, Him immortally visible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever. Amen. But let's go back to verse 13 in relation to what Paul says here. Paul says, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul said, and because of who I was the chief of all sinners because I did those things in unbelief and did them wrong. So what Paul is saying is that he's a sinner, but he's talking about his former life of who he used to be. And now we do that. We say, this is how I used to live, or this is the lifestyle that I used to have. But he's talking about when he formerly was a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insolent proponent against the church of Christ. So other than that, I don't know of any other passage where a faithful servant of the Lord is called a sinner in the Bible. And there's a reason for that. When God forgives and reforms someone's life, brethren, he's no longer a sinner. So, am I a sinner? Ask yourself that question right now. Am I a sinner? Have I sinned? We can all shake our head yes. But am I a sinner? Is that what I'm going to label myself and tell the world that I am? There are a few things that affect our behavior and affect our identity. And that's the way that we look at ourselves. When we believe ourselves and what we believe ourselves to be determines the kind of people with whom we identify. The kind of expectations that we have for ourselves. Our attitude really determines our altitude in life, right? And who we think we are. If we think of ourselves as unworthy and no good, then that's exactly how we project ourselves. It's the same if you've ever known anybody in an abusive relationship. Sometimes we see the particular spouse who's being abused. Why don't they just leave and get out of that relationship? Well, they've been beat down and emotionally scarred to believe that that's who they should be or that's who they are. And because of that, that's who they project themselves to be, and they stay there because they don't believe they're any better. Because the person continually beats them down and tells them that's who they are. Want to have an unsuccessful child? Emotionally scar them. Tell them they're not any good. They're never going to amount to anything, right? Tell them you're always going to be who you are. You want to have a dumb child? Start to call them that. And that's exactly who they believe they're going to be because that's what you're projecting or telling them they're going to be. Brethren, when we become Christians, God doesn't call us sinners. He calls us saints. And unfortunately, the world has hijacked the term saint to mean something completely different than what it's meant to be in the Bible. And because we are now Christians, because God now calls us His saints or His children, the Bible reveals that sainthood isn't just an identity to be achieved, it's something to be received by God. So it's something that we wear proudly because of what God is giving to us through His Son on the cross of Calvary. When you're buried with Jesus Christ in baptism, you receive the identity of saint. That is, you take on sainthood, and because of Jesus' blood, you are now one of God's holy ones, one of His chosen children. And so because of that, we're not going to mislabel ourselves or project something that we're not, because God says, I sent my Son so that you are not that person. I sent my Son that you can have a new identity and a new label, so guess what? That your light might shine before men, and they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we don't project the idea of sinner to the world. We project the idea of faithfulness and righteousness because we are God's children. And because of that, when the world sees who we are, they understand what it means to be a Christian, not to be a sinner or unrighteous. Even when Christians need correction, Paul doesn't address his letters to sinners. Paul addresses his letters to the saints. When you think about how he called those in Corinth, and you think about the plethora of problems that the Corinthian church was having, he still referred to him as saints or as the brethren. Though they were sinning and were making mistakes, he knew that they could correct it because they were God's children. Constantly identifying yourself as a sinner is likely to ensure that you're going to continue to live a life of sin. And so we have to relabel ourselves. But embracing the identity that you have in Christ will help you to live exactly the way that God wants you to live. As an unrighteous child, or rather as a righteous child of God. Because the Bible calls us to live out our calling, right? We're all called by the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. When we were living and I was preaching in Mississippi, I was cutting the grass one day. And I accidentally started cutting the neighbor's lawn because I didn't know exactly where the marker was. And he came over and jumped on me because I was cutting his grass. I'm thinking, man, you're getting a free yard mode. But he said, this is my line. I said, well, I apologize. It won't happen again. But then he asked me what I did, and I told him that I was a gospel preacher. And he said, when did you receive your call? And I said, my what? When did God call you to be a preacher? I said, I don't remember that particular phone call, but the gospel called me is what I told him, and he was confused by that. I told him, I said, 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says, whereby you are called by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is, we're all called, right? We're all ministers of the gospel. We're all evangelists because that's what we're called to be. But we live out our calling as God's children, not as sinners, but as Christians, as saints, because that's what God labels us. And God invites you. He calls you today to sainthood, not to be a sinner. He calls you to be righteous, right? He calls you to be washed and cleaned of every sin that you've ever committed and receive the status of saints, not because of your merits, but because of Jesus' merits, because of what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. So we get to be new people. We get to start over. We get to be somebody completely different than who we used to be. And He urges you to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, right? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, promising you that it will strive. If we live out our calling, God says, even the sins that you commit along the way will be washed and will be cleansed. Again, 1 John 1 and verse 7 and 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. So, brethren, the question is, isn't it time, if you're calling yourself a sinner, to throw off that identity? To think in a more positive light of who you are because of what Jesus Christ did at Calvary? Because of what God expects of us as His children as we walk in the light as Jesus Christ is in the light? So we certainly can't walk with Christ or sit with Christ or stand before Christ as sinners. We stand before Him as His children, as Christians. And because of that, that's the label that God has given to us. So why in the world would we want to say, well, we're all sinners? I once was, but I no longer am. I used to be somebody different, but Jesus Christ changed me. He reformed me. He made me somebody completely different than who I used to be. Sinners are God's enemies, but now we're God's children because we're holy and we're blameless before God, Ephesians 1 and verse 4. So that's how we stand. We stand before God in righteous judgment, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And either we're found to be faithful as a child of God or we're found to be unrighteous as a sinner. So the question we have to ask ourselves when we label ourselves, which line do we want to stand in? Do we stand in the line with the righteous or the unrighteous? We don't deserve to be a saint, but if you are a Christian, brethren, you are a saint. Now we embrace that identity and we live in faithful appreciation because of what God has given us at the cross of Calvary. So let me ask you this question as we close this morning. Aren't you glad that you're a Christian? Aren't you glad that you're a saint? Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ died to give you that title so you don't have to refer to yourself in a negative light to say that you're a sinner? Again, it doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we're not going to fall and make mistakes from time to time. But God says, I'm not going to let you be a sinner. That's why I gave you Jesus. I'm not going to let you continue in this lifestyle because I love you enough and I want you to be with me in eternity. And God promises us that eternal home with Him if we live faithful. So we continue walking as Christians, not as sinners. And that we have each other to pick each other up, Galatians chapter 6, to make sure that we keep walking in that path when we fall short. And because we're saints and not sinners, because we're Christians, and because we bear the title of Christ, isn't it time that we show the world who we are? And so with that this morning, if you're struggling and you're wearing that title, even though you shouldn't be, I encourage you to cast it off today. Set it aside, because that isn't who you are. And don't let anybody tell you any different. Don't let anybody beat you down and call you something that you're not, because you are a holy, righteous child of God, and God wants you to wear that title because He gave you Jesus. And if you're walking in the way of the scornful, if you're standing in the way of the sinner, Psalm 1 and verse 1, and you don't want to be in that lifestyle, you want to be among those who are called righteous and holy. If you want to be titled and labeled a saint, you have that opportunity this morning because of what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, because He was willing to die for your sins, Romans 6, 3 and 4, because you can become that new creature in Christ, right? That new person. And so you have to take the steps, not based upon your merits, but based upon what Jesus did. We take the step of repentance because we have to tell God that we don't want to be the person that we used to be. We recognize our past for what it was. It helps us to be who we are in the future, but that doesn't define us and who we are today. Because now we get to be disciples. We get to be saints. And now I can confess the name of Jesus Christ because I recognize my past and what it is. Now I can be a faithful child of God by confessing Jesus Christ, but taking that last step to have my sins washed away in that watery grave of baptism, to where I put on that title of Christian based upon the blood of Jesus Christ, and I come out of that watery grave and I say amen because I'm a Christian now, not a sinner. You're no longer a sinner. You're now a child of God who walks with the rest of us, who stands arm in arm, ready to wage war against sin. And so if you need that today, if you've never put on Christ in baptism, if you've never experienced that love, then we encourage you today to do that. If you're calling yourself a sinner, stop it, because you're not. If you made a mistake, fix it and move on. We want to pray with you. We want to lift you up. We want to encourage you. But brethren, you're not a sinner. You're a Christian. And it's time that we wear the title proudly as together we stand and as we sing.